Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 157. In this episode, we're going to be discussing a title, How to Build a Legit Online Course That Works in 2026. This was generated by a number of videos that I've watched recently, one from Alex Humozy, another one by Pat Flynn, another one by Amy Porterfield, and a few other people that I've got listed in our show notes. I've got my great co-host for the show, Kirk, and we're going to be sharing what our feelings. I think the course world, the membership, the subscription, the community world has seen some changes, but I also feel some of the fundamentals are still there. So it should be a great show, folks. You should get a lot from it, hopefully. So, Kurt, first of all, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Love to, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Manana Nomas, and I work directly with the awesome team over at WP Tonic.
We really do. If you're looking for a great hosting partner, the freedom of WordPress, the flexibility, but also you just don't want to deal with any aggro with it, coming over to WP Tonic's a great idea. So, before we go into the meat and potatoes, though, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I want also to take the opportunity to say we've got some great free resources. We've got a free list of the best WordPress plugins and services. Plus, we've got a course done by Kurt himself that will show you how to build a course from beginning to end. And you get that at 50% off. It's very reasonably priced. To get all these goodies, all you have to do, plus you get some special offers from the sponsors of the show. To get all these goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. So, Kurt, where should we start in this conversation? So I gave Kurt some extensive show notes. I try to every episode. And I gave you a list of videos of the people I named at the beginning that, and hopefully you've had time to have a quick look at the videos and that. So what was your impression initially of what's been said in a lot of these videos? Oh, you're muted actually, Kurt.
Sorry about that. I was actually opening those videos in the background and I didn't want them to come through on the podcast, because I wanted to kind of see those notes too. We haven't really divulged to the audience like what the core message is. This idea that selling courses is dead. I just got to tell you, Jonathan, maybe I'm a Luddite, but I get really insulted when somebody that made $15 million selling courses comes along and says, well, courses are dead. Alex Hormozy is endorsing this school platform. And then he's going to jump on and say, you know, here's a way to build a legit course, right? It's insulting. It's insulting to people getting started, because it's making the implication that this happens magically, right? Where does the, like in SEO, we call it domain authority, right? In the learning space, you have to create some root source of authority in a space. And if you don't have content to support that authority, you're not going to build an audience. And for these people that have become millionaires in the space to try and tell other people that it's a dead space, that's just insulting.
Yeah, I totally agree with you almost 95%. The last 5% is, I'm just going to put this to you. Like I named at the beginning of the show, Pat Flynn has done a video outlining some of the things we're going to discuss later on in this show. Amy Porterfield, Graham Conran. There's been a number of these, and all these people have been highly successful. But what they produce is that they produce courses about producing courses.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of their material is aimed at people that have really no prior knowledge of doing a course. And to be fair, this is what this, a lot of the content that we produce for this podcast is aimed at that audience. So there's nothing wrong with it. And they all have or have had high ticket courses, but they've also had courses, very low ticket courses around under $100. And then they've got a mediums or a lower medium price course that's normally under $500. And because what has happened with AI, and they say people can get this knowledge from AI, I don't agree with that. I think if your course is that shallow that a bit of research on AI can be a main competitor, I think there's probably something wrong with your course. But on the other hand, these one of the areas where AI is very good is going over and finding information and then presenting it to you in a way that you can research. And but I think, and this is only my personal opinion, Kurt, is why they're also pitching or moving or changing their business model is that it is AI overviews. It is that the amount of traffic that they were generating, which they could sell their $497 course to, has reduced dramatically. It's also exhaustion. I think a lot of the people that really were looking for an introductory course, they have been sold to, and there's been course inflation at that particular sector of the market. And also paid advertisement on Google, on YouTube, and especially on Facebook has just got more expensive. So, and more difficult to get the return on investment that they're looking for. So what's your response to what I've just outlined?
I agree. But here's where I get, again, I go back to insulting. You mentioned the word shallow in your answer. And to me, when they make content like this, because you know, your show notes went to like very specific targeted ideas of course sales. I think Alex Hormozi's video was the most well-rounded because it said, here's the three ways to make a legit course, right? Don't sell to everybody. Filter your audience, right? Make sure that they can actually fail the dang thing. You know, only qualify people. Like, so when you listen to it, you go, okay, everything he's saying here makes sense because it adds legitimacy to your training product, which only really has certain use cases that's real. Like if I'm going to teach someone how to work on motorcycles or how to be a doctor, I want to make sure they learn and pass and earn the certificate. But if I'm training somebody like how to make a coffee mug, you know, how to paint ceramics, it's not a pass or fail situation. That's someone taking a course just for self-improvement and betterment, right? So there's use cases. But the shallow part, Jonathan, is they're talking about things that as a reputable agency, Mañana Nomás has been promoting for over a decade. I've always been a fan of the good, better, best pricing strategy. I have always tried to tell my clients that there's no such thing as passive, build it and forget it and become a millionaire overnight. Like, that doesn't happen. You have to have skin in the game. You have to work at it. And so when these influencers were talking about shifting to a cohort model or a coaching model or a community model, that just falls perfectly into the good, better, best pricing strategy that I've been recommending to clients for over a decade. And that is, have a base course. Have a minimal viable product, a base course that people on a budget can get access to. And then the next price is maybe cohort group learning, right? Where you're getting some live interaction and you're getting some skin in the game with the creator, you know, in a group scenario, but you're getting there. And then best is like that one-on-one coaching where they're going to pay, you know, a 10x value for your time. And if you look at some of the comments in these videos, a lot of people make reference to, yeah, but this still puts me in an exchanging hours for dollars situation. And I was trying to avoid that. And I'll be honest, Jonathan, I just don't have the patience for that conversation. Everything that creates revenue takes effort. And so there are benefits on selling, you know, one to many as opposed to one to one. But you're still exchanging, you know, time for dollars in some kind of a way, even if your content is static. Like if your content's static, you still got to manage the site, manage the members. You and I are fully aware of what it's like to have to provide, you know, management and maintenance for our clients. So you either pay someone to do it or you do it yourself.
Yeah. And I watched a video by a lady called Letitia James. Mm-hmm. And I can only go what she says. She says that she is successful that last year the turnover that she did in courses was like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't compare to Pat Flynn or Amy Porterfield. And she said that she never bought any of Amy Porterfield's courses, but she watched a lot of the free material, the podcasts and videos that Amy produces.
Mm-hmm.
And she was encouraged to go into the course. And she says that she's very satisfied with the end results, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know this lady, but she seems reasonably legit. But she remarked that these people like Amy Porterfield and Pat Flynn, and of course Alex is a little bit out of this because he is a major investor in a platform that sells courses. And to be fair, Pat Flynn is a major investor in Circle, but the way he's changing his business model kind of suits the platform Circle. And don't get me wrong, folks, there's nothing illegal, but almost all the people, Pat Flynn has got a major investment in Circle, Alex has got a major investment in School, Amy Porterfield had a special relationship with Kajabi, so did Graham have a special relationship with Kajabi, and they get a special affiliate rate, which you or Kirk, or if you're listening to this podcast, you're never going to get, because they brought a lot of customers to the Kajabi platform. And Graham, every second video for a period of time, was promoting the benefits of Kajabi, and he did use it himself. So there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you understand the game. I just wonder, a lot of the people that are attracted to Amy Porterfield or Graham or Pat Flynn, do they understand the game? What do you reckon, Kurt?
I think they understand the game, that if they come out with a new message and get their, you know, 2.7 million followers to move in a certain direction, they can make some more money. But I think you have to use the gift of discernment to look at the message, who's delivering the message, what's the motivation for the message, and then really think to yourself, is this applicable to me or not? You know, there's another influencer out there that for some reason has been on my mind lately, and I haven't listened to him in forever. And that's Gary Vaynerchuk, right? He's pretty loud, obnoxious. But like Gary used to say, I don't know if he still says, but he used to say things all the time, like stop comparing yourself to, and in this situation, it would be stop comparing yourself to Alex, to Graham, to Letitia. Stop comparing yourselves to them. If you came out with a course and you made $65,000 this year or $100,000, you would be over the moon. That would be life-changing money for you as a side venture. For most people listening to this, when someone as an influencer makes a video and says, well, I did $1 million in course sales last year, but I don't sell courses anymore. Part of me wonders, well, do you have to do anything anymore? If you invest $1 million properly, you might never have to work again. Those aren't your people. You know what I mean? It's like they're trying to broadcast. There's a lady in town that I love. She's a dear soul. She's got great energy, but man, she listens to these people and she follows what they say and she buys their training programs. And I think to myself, you're not in the same league as these folks. You're not playing in the same sandbox. And so you're not going to get the same results. You need to pick sandboxes that match your current position and your use case. And if it grows and you can expand and become amazing in 5 years, that's great. But I just don't think a lot of people are there yet. You know, when the people that have large investments and millions of dollars, you know, kind of resting on this kind of content, I really struggle to take it seriously.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I have to hit this. If I don't say this, I'm going to feel like I left people hanging. The use case is completely different for different areas of courses. So there's commercial training, there's corporate training, there's personal development training, there's leadership training for business and stuff. There's a very, and the technology's changed a ton. So adding community or adding live coaching to these courses is completely doable and becoming expected now. But I don't think it's expected because Alex and Latasha said it is. I think it's expected because that's just the evolution of it. And that's what's happened over the last half decade.
So probably in the second half, we will discuss probably in more detail how, you know, community cohorts, mechanisms that help in making your course, your community more sticky. Some of the things that you've seen worked or not worked. But before we go for our middle break, what is your feelings about AI and how it, and not specifically Google AI overviews, because I think that's affected, you know, a lot of information websites have been hit where they've lost 70, 80% of their traffic. Some have recovered, a lot haven't. I got hit. I've never fully recovered, but talking to some other people, they've said I've done quite well in the figures that I've managed to get it back up to. But how in general do you think AI over the last couple of years has affected how people see courses? Or, and it was touched by a couple of the people's videos that we've talked about, that also, do you think there was after COVID, there was just a little bit of exhaustion in the online? But I think COVID had an effect. I think AI has had effect. But also, I think a lot of these course online business gurus, major influencers, that their actions have, they've made a lot of money, but it's also, it's a very similar message. And I was going to use discredited. That's probably a bit too strong, but they took the shine off the market with selling a lot of courses to people that it was going to be easy, that you could just set up an evergreen membership website, and you would only have to put 4 hours a week into it, blah, blah, blah. Am I waffling, or would you like to comment? And then we go for our break.
Well, is there course fatigue like Graham had spoke about in his video? I believe that there is, just like there's subscription fatigue. I am exhausted of subscribing to everything on the planet. So what do? I just start canceling subscriptions, whether I use the product or not. Just start canceling stuff and I'll figure it out later, right? If that's why I always say I'm a fan of the lifetime deal, because I hate tracking all these stupid subscriptions. It's the same with the online training. Now, what happens with a lot of this training, and I don't know if you saw this video, I should have emailed you back. Imran Sadiq, Web Squadron, did a wonderful video this last week about scams and these gurus that make these courses, you know, sell you this for $149, sell you this for $549, sell you this for $949 or whatever. And they always promise that they're going to give you some kind of hidden secret or hidden value, and it's all hyped up. And then you see the content and it's not there. Like, it's not magical. It's not new. It's not anything revolutionary. And people are tired of getting duped. So when you use the word discredited, I believe that that was valid. It's valid because people have hyped up the result past what is real. You got to be honest and you got to be transparent with people, and you got to let them know what they're going to get. You know, if you identify a pain point and you sell training based on that pain point, well, gosh darn, there better be some relief for that pain point at the end of the content. And in a lot of cases, there isn't. And that's where people, I think, have hit the fatigue that Graham was talking about in his video.
Well, it's common sense. It's like at WP Tonic, we're hosting, hosting plus, as we call it. We specialize in membership community focused websites. We use WordPress because the benefits. But if we didn't host your website and we couldn't help you and we were totally useless, you wouldn't be happy if you signed up for WP Tonic. You would be rightly to feel that you've been misled, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't always work out for everybody at WP Tonic, folks, but I can say, and I think Kirk, I do care, and so does Kirk and the rest of the team, and we do the best for our clients.
Yeah.
And we want them to succeed. But if you don't, we can't provide the basics. We don't deserve to be in business, do we?
No. And your point about the AI thing, and I see the comment coming in from Asang. People rely on these AI overviews for quick answers.
Yeah,
but
right.
There's a difference between a quick answer and feeling really well-founded in a topic. And I work with a lot of young people, Jonathan, and one of the things I'm seeing in this younger generation is they don't have a lot of patience for AI and fakeness. They just don't. They see something that's AI. If it's entertaining, that's different. Like, if we're going to laugh and giggle, that's great. Yeah. But they don't have patience to learn from a Hey Gen, you know, icon. They want to connect with a person. And I'm seeing this more and more now. I projected this 2 years ago on one of our shows. I said, hey, in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, I think people will get fatigued from AI interfacing, and they'll actually crave, you know, contact with a real human expert. And I think we're starting to see that now. And I think what's going to happen is that's actually in the next, again, another forecast, another 2 to 3 years, you're going to see a heightened demand for courses that are run by real live people, and also that feature the cohort or membership example where they get access to you in a live, you know.
Yeah, which we're going to discuss that in the second half. Kurt. Okay. Thanks for bringing that up. So I think we've come to a good place to have our middle break, folks. Like I say, Kirk's just kind of mentioned it. We're going to go through how some of the techniques, some of the skills, some of the things you can do to make sure that your course is going to be successful in 2026. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out another fantastic free resource. If you go the Membership Machine Show WP Tonic newsletter, I send it out once a week on Tuesday or Wednesday. It's written by myself. It takes one of the topics that I have discussed through some of my other videos or content. And also I give a short curated list of the best stories that have come on my radar during the week. It's totally free. To get this, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. And it's a great way of supporting the show if you could sign up. Right, so I would say it's negative. I think we were being realistic, and this topic just came on my radar, and I just thought it was a good topic for us to discuss in this week's show, Kurt. Okay. So what are some of the things that you think people... I'll just give a couple of quick things and then I'll let you take over. I think it's everything we've discussed in previous shows. It's finding a niche. It's finding a real need, a real pain point. It's doing, like we discussed last week, do a minimum viable course. It's building the tribe. It's building that relationship. It's getting those first, doing an early bird offer, getting a few people to initially sign up to get the wheel moving, and then getting feedback from those first paying students. And then we got the other, that's where I would start off. How do you think about that list? And then what would you add to it, Kurt?
During the needs assessment from an agency perspective, that's where I find out what the real goal of the client is, right? So did you want to be in the course business? Do you want to have the community? Are you more like an in-person trainer? And then it kind of changes the strategy. So like you had said, come out with a proof of concept, come out with a mini course, do a minimal viable product. In some cases, that minimal viable product ends up being a free mini course that maybe becomes the lead magnet that goes to the community or to the mastermind or whatever you want to call your organization. So that's one model. But then there's the other model that I actually like, and that is use the courses as your main foundational product and actually sell those courses and then upsell, the community and the one-on-one coaching on top. That's that good, better, best example I talked about in the first half.
I think what has happened with Google and AI overviews, I think if you're in the educational space, I think the platform that's still, there are Instagram threads, there's TikTok, but I think the big daddy, and it's still growing and taking market share, is YouTube. If you're really somebody that has knowledge and can communicate, you should be on YouTube. You should be developing your YouTube channel. And it's just naturally bleeds in to getting people to sign up for a course, a community element of your package. What do you think about that?
Well, I absolutely agree with the YouTube angle. In fact, one of my takeaways from today's homework to do this show was if you take a look at the show notes for each of those three, right? Their show notes are extraordinarily detailed. And that's one of the things I came away with. Like that YouTube video, the YouTube video is the hook, right? That's the hook, gets people watching. But anyone that clicks to see the extended show notes is going to see like the whole bio and life history of Alex Hormozi. It's going to have links to all kinds of projects. It's going to have, and then the SEO kind of kickback from that, I imagine, has got to be a lot higher than kind of those servicey one paragraph intros I have in my YouTube channel. So he's got millions of followers and I have 100 followers. So that tells me right there that that's one of those things. So you're pointing out like you have a course, you have a program that you're selling. What's a great way to get people to see it? YouTube. And I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. And I think next week we'll talk about YouTube and some of the people because, as you know, Kirk knows, I've been doing a lot of research about, because I produce a lot of videos and it is not easy, folks, because you have to, it's finding a balance with YouTube, especially if you're in a niche. You're not going to get an enormous audience. But I say that there's people in the WordPress space and they've got a couple hundred thousand or 100,000, or you don't need a tremendously, not, and that sounds large, but in the world of YouTube, that isn't. But it's all very contradictory because I think only 5 to 8% of YouTube channels have more than 10,000 subscribers. I will have to check that because that's just in, I'm just going by my memory, but I think I'm not wrong. I have to get AI overview, but I think that's right. I think at the most it's only 10% have more than 10,000, pardon me, subscribers. So what are some of the other factors? So I think I'm still very positive about YouTube. I think the other thing that I wouldn't say failed on, but I didn't appreciate was build. And I think that is linked to what Alex says, which I don't agree totally, but is I think offering a lot of free materials, especially and encouraging people to go to your website and offering a lot of free stuff if people sign up. Because building up your email list is really important, I think, also is something that I didn't appreciate, and really building that up and pruning it and looking after it is really important, because it's going, if you've got not a massive list, but you've got a couple of thousand people that regularly open your email, read it, it's going to be much easier to sell them at your initial course if you've got that resource. What do you reckon, Kurt?
If the question really to me is, do I still believe in giving away free stuff? I still believe in giving away free stuff. However, I try to encourage at least my customers, my clients, to be selective and strategic about what is free, how much is free, and how the free is delivered. If you watch these influencers, if you do more than listen to what they say, if you watch what they actually do, you can really come away with a lot from that. I think a lot of people just starting out make two major mistakes in either direction when they first launch. A is they try to sell their course for absolute retail plus, and they think they're the smartest person in the world, and anybody would be a fool not to take their course, and then they wonder why nobody signs up. right? Like you've seen people launch a course for $500 and nobody signs up. And they go, well, something must be wrong with my website. Well, no, something's wrong with your message. Like you're not going to get $500 from strangers. The other side of the coin is someone that gets hooked on this idea of give away your best for free, becomes white papers and videos and, you know, webinars and all, and they do all this stuff for free and they work themselves into a tizzy for free. And they have that imposter syndrome that prevents them from actually marketing a course near retail. And that's where I see a lot of people carry the free thing on so far and so long that it becomes painful for them to get to revenue positive. And so there, you've got to figure out the balance. And sometimes you need a second person in the room. Sometimes you need a voice of reason on your team that says, hey, let's do, you know, these three white papers and this webinar as free products, but they're all lead magnets and they all require an email to see it or view it. And then they go into the funnel to buy the.
I call it mentally, I call them paths.
Exactly. Pathways.
I see them as pathways. That's how I mentally.
Part of the user experience is to get them into. So you need something. That's why I was so insulted by the content that I viewed in preparation for the show. Because these people that have already made millions and had hundreds of thousands of followers and these giant tribes are trying to tell people just getting started, don't waste your time. This doesn't work. Well, obviously it did work because you've got this huge audience. How am I, Mr. Nobody, supposed to portray myself as an expert in any field if I don't offer up some content, some assets, and exchange some information for, you know, marketing content that I can market to people, grow my tribe and grow revenue. It's a very tricky business. And it's funny because you and I are having this conversation and we're probably talking in circles to some of the people that are listening or viewing. And I just want to say, if you're confused right now, don't be mad at yourself. This really does take work and research and understanding your niche and use case and all that stuff. This is not, there's not a tried and true blueprint that guarantees success with
it. And it just takes a little bit of time, but it doesn't take forever either. But I think we're going to do an episode about podcasting because it has its strengths and weaknesses. And it's like anything that doesn't cost an enormous amount of money, it's not going to be overnight. And if you think you're going to make money from podcasting, I can assure you, only the top 5% of podcasters make any kind of income. I've been doing this a long time and I'm lucky to get sponsorship that covers my costs or helps with a particular bill. But I couldn't make a living off podcasting, only if I was teaching people how to podcast. But it's still something worthwhile doing. And using YouTube and concentrating on building not an enormous list, but a list that people really open. That's about what you're going to produce courses on. Now, the other factor that, and I had similar thing, especially Graham, when he was boasting, is coaching. And I don't think it's anything new. I think it's just like you remarked in the first half of the show, doing coaching, doing group coaching, doing one-to-one coaching is a natural path that's been there for people that do build a successful membership community, isn't it? But what he was saying, and I find the man nothing offensive, and I'm sorry to bash him, but when he was saying, well, I sell one-to-one coaching packages around $250,000. Now, if he does get that, good for him. But all I know about people that could afford a 250 one-to-one consultancy package, Graham must be bringing a lot, put it this way, a lot of value. What? He's looking at me, folks. If you're just listening, I'm getting an old-fashioned look from Kurt. I've been very diplomatic, aren't I?
But you're being super diplomatic. And that's where I take a look at some of these things that these influencers say, you know, hey, look at me standing next to this Lamborghini. Let me show you how to make money online. Shut up. Stop. You know,
and Graham is that. I did start to smile when you were saying that, basically. Amy, I don't think Amy is engaged so much in that. I actually think there are a few people that would give her a considerable amount of money. I've always found, and I've interviewed her once, and it was fine, but I've always found her content not to be useful, but shallow. And to some extent, Pat Flynn, I always found his content to be fine, but shallow as well. But I think people like them.
Yeah, they're personable. And to be clear, he might be selling $250,000 coaching packages because he is also a person of means. Like, if you are a person of means and you're hanging around in circles with people that make, you know, a few million dollars a year, for them to spend, you know, 100 grand, 200 grand on something they perceive as valuable, that's a doable situation. If you are in the six-figure range for your income, the chances of you selling a $250,000 training package are pretty dang slim. I have a product that I sell. It's $45,000 to work with a single business for a year's worth of training, live sessions, and coaching with their management. It's 45 grand. I don't sell that very often, but when I do, I sure am happy. And the people that take that training from me generally see about $750,000 to $800,000 in additional revenue as a business. So the thing to me that is important, and that's the data that Alex Hormozi was talking about. Yeah. You know, you've got to have some kind of debt, some kind of a thing that you say, like, I'm not going to brag about how much money I make selling these courses. That'd be silly. But what I'm saying is, hey, if you own a dealership and you're in this situation and this is the pain point you're experiencing, I have these other clients that have gone through our program and have come out the other end.
Yeah. So
better customer service, better, you know, retention, and an extra 800 grand.
So like on the website, if you can, it would be fantastic if you had a couple video testimonials. You would have white papers describing one or two white papers describing what results a organization got by doing that course there. Yeah. There would be videos about that. You talk about the key steps that got that particular organization to that particular level. It's all stuff that you've got to build out on your websites, or you hire people to help you do it. Now, so coaching, high ticket coaching, I think Amy was talking about that, also to some extent Pat Flynn and definitely Graham. But cohort, I think the areas where this has always been there, folks, and it diminished because there was a lot of people selling evergreen courses and the delusionary idea that you could be on a beach like and only spend like 4 hours a month and you could make six figures. It was and there's a lot of people saying that they got there. I was always rather negative of that. But I think now they're looking at community being more active, having a platform where you can build community, but it's a lot more work. And also doing the courses with a student in batches, cohort. Can we quickly go through, because this term community, which is to me a mixture of a forum, of area that has some of the functionality of a Facebook group, And then mixing it with cohort process is what, and I think, yeah, I would agree with those elements, but you've got to understand what you're getting involved with as well. What's your comments on that, Kurt?
So the question is the difference between cohorts and communities?
Well, I think they're marketing both community elements. Your membership needs to have, this word is bandied around a lot recently, the last year, community,
yeah,
rather than membership. And then also cohort, changing from an evergreen to a cohort mythology.
So the cohort thing to me is super interesting because there's different ways and perceptions of cohorts. When I define a cohort, I simply tell people it's a way to help a group of people do a course at the same time. And so a cohort, people could still learn independently, but let's say the course starts on February 1st and it ends on February 28th. So everybody can enter the course on February 1st and they get out of the course on February 28th. So technically that's a cohort, right? Because it's a group of people going through a course at the same time. Now, what I prefer is to integrate a cohort with community tools. And that's where, you know, your this dynamic website that's a learning management system already, if you can add in community tools and you have a cohort, well, now you've got everyone starts the class on February 1st and they get access to a group forum to discuss each of the lessons. Or maybe there's a way that you do a live shared Zoom meeting every Wednesday for the month that they're doing the course. But that's when we say community, what we're talking about is a way for the students to interact with each other, not just with the instructor. Because a well-positioned learning management system has the ability for the student and the instructor to communicate as part of the LMS, kind of like whenever, right? So the idea of a cohort is to create a little bit more of a group scenario, hopefully get better course completion results, because selling the course is one thing, getting everyone to finish the course is a completely different
thing. Well, you hope it reduces churn, don't you?
Yeah, so you're trying to reduce churn. You don't want to give refunds. You want everyone to kind of get excited and do this thing together. Well, the excitement gets amplified when the students are able to communicate with each other, and that's what these community tools do. And there is a plethora of community tools in the WordPress space. So again, it comes to use case, how much you want to moderate this community, because that's a task in itself, and what features do you really want to give them? Are you going to do Zoom community calls? Are you going to let them banter back and forth in a forum? Are you going to have them just use comments in the lessons to kind of put their opinions in as part of the lesson format? There's all kinds of ways to address it, but I think that's when a course really begins to take a life of its own. It's one thing to have the idea and draft the curriculum. It's a completely different thing to have a group or a tribe of people actively communicating about your creation alongside of what you created. It really gives it life.
Yeah. But, you know, it's more administration overhead, folks. It's more, you're going to have to be more directly involved. But don't get me wrong, folks, it's still totally manageable with a full-time job or if you're working for yourself, and it's totally manageable. And it has all those benefits because it's more sticky, it reduces churn, and AI can't replicate that. But in general, just to finish off, how do you see AI? What's your general feeling about how AI is affecting the way people see courses?
Well, I think I kind of alluded to it earlier. I think if you're using AI to create your course content and you have like Hey Gen avatars doing your talking and all that, I think you're going to damage yourself in the long run. I think you need to make your course material as organic as possible. And I think AI is a great tool for helping you get audiences or helping you identify, you know, weak spots in your curriculum There's a lot of ways to use AI positively, but from the user experience, I think AI will cause people to go the other way. And I think people are going to be craving that human contact. And the more organic and human your website appears, the more success it's going to have in the long run.
And there's a number I like bringing. We like doing episodes where we talk about AI and AI products that come on our radar. But I do follow a couple YouTube channels, and they're really promoting that AI is going to totally replace courses. Funny enough, they've got their own communities. One of them does it on Fluent Community, which is a great decision. But and I periodically watch what they're talking about and demonstrating. And so far, I've not been very impressed. And this is somebody that utilizes a lot of AI. I think Kirk would say that I do use a lot of AI, don't I?
Yeah. And I've begun to use more and more of it. I'm surprised at how often the windows open on my computer and what I'm really using it for. But it's a lot of research, you know, it's a lot of filling in content gaps. But in the end, when I publish something, it's got my voice on it. And I think that is incredibly valuable. And I don't want people to get lost in that. Like there's tools right now where you could say, hey, Mr. AI, you know, create me 10 blog posts a week on this subject and automatically post this to my website, you know, to my posts. And, you know, we have people in the course marketplace that we help that do these kinds of things. And then they kind of wonder like, people don't seem to be reading my posts anymore. Yeah, because they all have the same pattern. Then they end with conclusion, right? Everyone knows ChatGPT wrote it. And people are getting tired of it. If you don't have the energy to create your own content, they're not going to have the energy to want to read it.
Well, I think that's a great way to end the show, but it's still I still think it's a fantastic way to build a secondary income, or in the end, build a business that enables you to give up your day job. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
I've been slacking off of LinkedIn lately because of all the spam, but LinkedIn's still probably the best way to actually make contact with me. I'm the only Kurt Von Ahnen there, and I'm easy to find.
That's fine. And if you want to have a consultation with me, Trudy, or Kurt, go over to the WP Tonic website and you can have an initial chat. And then we offer also consultation packages, and we can help you develop your membership idea and get it launched. And we provide the hosting, all the tools, plus the consultation. And we can provide that all in one package for you folks. We've helped tons of people have successful launches. We'll see you next week with another great topic. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.